This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now, let me repeat. You get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. Is trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report, and here's my episode.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
I am so excited about what I hear God is doing in Europe through my longtime friend, Rodney Howard Brown, who just got back from a crusade in Europe that he called Europe Ablaze. If you've listened to the last 2 days, you've heard about visiting many of these cities. We talked it through one by one. He told stories about many of the cities, and he gives us some amazing statistics that over 40,000 people attended 43 different churches. It was part of 3 different trips that he did in November, February, and then in March and April, getting home just a few days ago, and I wanted to report this. So here is my final podcast with Rodney Howard Brown about what's happening in Europe. And remember, you can always go back on the Charisma Podcast Network and listen to the first 2. Now here's Rodney. Rodney, I've recorded several podcasts about the great things that you experienced in Europe on your recent trip. I mean, the statistics are just amazing. You went to 43 cities, and you told me that there were 43 churches involved, over 40,309 people. But one of the things that really stood out to me on some of the statistics that I've read is how many people, ministers, leaders, businessmen and women, individuals, committed to being mobilized for the harvest. Was that about 15,000 people? I mean, that's just an amazing number.
Well, obviously, you see, the altar calls were 16,267. So when the people are there, we lead them to Christ. Now, there's a lot of people, obviously, there are first-time decisions, but then there's a lot of people recommitting or coming to make sure. Then we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and for the fire of God to fall on them. And then we begin to talk about now that you've received this power. How many are in business? And they'll raise their hand. How many are in government? How many are in this or that or whatever? Now, who will commit to allowing God to use you to win souls when the only thing we could take with us when we leave this earth is people? And then the hands go up. So then we begin to pray for them, and then we actually do a training. We have them all sit down, and we take 20 minutes, do a training. We give everybody soul-winning tools, show them how to win the lost. And we tell them, look, we're not giving you the only method. There are many methods of winning souls. Just find one that works for you. And please, please tell people about Jesus everywhere you go and let your voice be heard. And so that's what's happening. And this was what I felt in my heart when the Lord said, run to 300 cities of the world between now and the end of 2020. And I was just believing for 100 people per city to be mobilized. That would be 30,000 leaders by the end of 2020. It looks like we're on track for close to 100,000 at the rate things are going. So I'm very, very excited about it. And I really feel that the compound interest of the mobilization is going to result in millions of people saved in the next 5 years.
And you told me a story on a previous podcast about one person who responded to a meeting in South Africa who started a great church in Surrey, England. And of course, that's just one. There are probably many examples that you are not able to really document. So, you know, years from now, we're going to be looking back at some of these people that were impacted and to see what God has done through them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, the third trip that we just did now, we got back Saturday. We started in Tenerife, which is in the Canary Islands, which obviously is a territory of Spain. But yet, if you talk to them, they say, no, we're Canaries. We're Canarians. It was funny. It's like the Southern Ireland, Northern Ireland thing there. But hungry, hungry people. And we were a combination of the Spanish church, and there was an English church working together with us. And, of course, it is Castilian Spanish coming, you know, out of Spain. So everything I had to do was through an interpreter, but they were hungry. The fire of God fell. From there, we went to Faro, Portugal. Portuguese people, there's a young minister and his wife. It's only 27, and God's using him in a profound way. He was the one that pulled the meeting together. And we just sat and strategized, talked to him about seeing Portugal taken, even the next 5 years, what he could do, and just see God mobilizing him. From there, we went to Murcia, Spain, also a Spanish church, which, again, I was trying to stay away from the internationals, rather because I wanted to get the locals. And it was not a big church. He probably runs about 80 in that location. He has another location, runs 100. But we had over 600 there that night. They came in. They came from all over Spain. And the fire of God hit. People were mobilized. People committed to win the lost. From there, we went to Ambilly, France, which is the French side of Geneva. I wanted a French church because they wanted me to go back to Paris to some of the big internationals. I said, no, please, let me just go to stay with the French. I've got to talk to French people. And again, he has a beautiful building. He's there. His goal is he wants to plant hundreds of churches. So I knew when we arrived, this is the right place. I got to spend time with the pastor. The next morning before we left, we just talked strategy to see France shaken and what he believes God's going to do in France. So from there, we went to Fier, Albania, which is south of the capital, 2 hours south. Albania is a total Muslim country. Again, this country had its own form of communism that was not actually part of the former Soviet Union, which I learned that, of course, when I was there. And, of course, the mafia has taken over the whole running of the country. And then I found out that George Soros is behind a lot of the stuff going on there, which you could just see his finger all over in upheaval of nations, which is a crazy, crazy thing. That's another story which we won't spend too much time on. But there were precious people. If you remember that Mother Teresa is an Albanian. She was an Albanian nun. So if you can just picture these precious Albanian people just receiving the fire of the Holy Ghost, it was just awesome. Then we went to Athens, Greece, which I'd been in Greece before but never preached. So this was in a Greek church with all Greeks. It was phenomenal. The power of God hit the place. They were touched by the Holy Ghost. And, of course, they want us to come back, which I just talked to them about. I said, you have 3,000 villages. I said, how many will be mobilized to go to every one of your villages? Let's see Greece shaken, and let's see the islands of Greece shaken by the fire of God, and it's going to take radical Greeks that are going to do this. From there, we went on to Cyprus. There's North and South Cyprus. There's a conflict between Turkey, which runs the northern side, and then the Greek Cypriots of the southern side. So we had people come from the north, and again, a powerful night. Altars were packed. The fire of God fell, and just talked about the strategy of seeing Cyprus shaken. Then from there, we went to a place called Zaporizhia in the Ukraine, which is right near the Russian border. This is where the conflict is taking place right now between Russia and the Ukraine. When we landed in Zaporizhia, I mean, the military was there with rifles. I mean, you could totally feel the difference. It was not like you were landing in an area that was no stress, you know. But the people were so hungry. They came that night, was phenomenal. Again, they'd rented an arena to try to fit everybody in. And altars were filled. People got touched by the fire. And then from there, we went to Riga, Latvia. Now, Riga blew me away. When we landed in Riga, I let the team go to the hotel to rest. And then Pastor Eric and myself went to this church. And they had 22 heads of government from the EU, people running for president of the country, people from the Bundestag, people from England. I'm sitting around this conference table with all these governmental people, and they, of course, were asking me about this book that we wrote. So I spent an hour talking about that, and then we opened up the floor for questions, and what was supposed to be an hour and a half meeting ended up being 4.5 hours. And they asked me, they said, could you help us put together a whole human rights movement for the church? They said, because in Europe, the church's rights are being taken away. I said, yes, of course. I said, by the time I finished the trip, we would have been in 32 countries. So if I hook up all the pastors of these churches and we help put together a human rights commission, we can put together a whole group to go to the World Court in The Hague, put together a whole thing to stand up for the church, for the body of Christ, that you can't take away the rights of the church. So that's what's happening at a grassroots level. And I was greatly encouraged just to meet with these people. And a lot of them were not church-going people. In actual fact, I only had a half an hour to get back to a hotel and shower and go to the night service. When I got there, all of those members of government were sitting in the church. They were sitting in the meeting in Riga. And tears in the eyes. I mean, it was just supernatural.
Well, I'm encouraged to hear that. I have visited many of these cities that you've mentioned, and I haven't jumped in because we want to hear your report. But I've been to Riga twice, once before the fall of the Soviet Union and once after. And there were some strong churches back then. And I remember being surprised that in a communist country that the church was as strong as it was. And of course, the people of Latvia wanted their freedom. So I just have kind of a soft spot in my heart for Riga. And I'm so encouraged to hear this about the governmental officials. And I think what you're doing about human rights is very, very important. And we want to follow that and maybe even find out more about it later. But pick up, your next stop was in Warsaw, Poland.
Yeah. So let me just mention this about Riga. So when I arrived at the service, because obviously I had a half an hour to turn around, shower, and run, there were groups of pastors meeting me in the back room, coming with their business cards. Will you come to Estonia? Will you come to Lithuania? Will you come to St. Petersburg, Russia? And then a bishop had flown in who's over 3,000 churches in Russia, saying, please, would you come? Can you come? Can you come to Kazakhstan? Will you please come to Kazakhstan? I just told our guys, I said, this thing's never ending. I said, we could actually just stay out here and never come back. I said, call America, say, we'll see you later. it was like crazy. Anyway, from there, we went to Warsaw, Poland. Now, the significance of the meeting in Poland was this was at a Bible school that was started back in 1933 by a couple that when the war broke out, now they had trained probably, according to what they told me, they trained about 600 students who then spread out across the whole eastern part of Europe. And then, of course, World War II broke out. Both of them were arrested. The wife ended up dying in prison, but the man had got free. This was one of the Bible schools that Donald G., if you remember the Pentecostal preacher, teacher, Donald G.
I remember his name. He had a big influence on Reinhard Bonnke, I remember.
Yeah, but he would go there every year and teach. So this was a well-established school. They had 200 students in the school. And actual fact, it's another whole story how I actually got there was through a man by the name of Camille, who had contacted me through social media. And he was studying at Harvard and Yale University. And I thought he was from Saudi Arabia with a name like Camille, whatever. When I was up in Connecticut last year, I walked into the lobby of the church and there was Camille. And I said, Camille, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm finishing up at Yale. And he said, I'm actually going back to Poland, my native country. I said, man, I thought you were Middle Eastern. He said, no. He said, everybody does with my name, Camille. But he began to tell me how he was old-time Pentecostal. He was raised in Pentecost. And when he was a kid, he wanted so hungry for the Holy Spirit. And the only book that he got a hold of in Poland at the time was a book that was attacking everything to do with revival and also was attacking me, which I won't even mention the title of it, but I was laughing about it. But he said when he began to study about the awakenings, he realized that Yale was a key place and Harvard was a key place. So he decided to go study theology at Yale and Harvard, which is why I asked him. He said, why in the world would you come to Yale or Harvard? He said, because that's where Jonathan Edwards, you know, and all these guys were. So he said, I felt I wanted to come there. So he actually held Edwards' sermons in his hands. He held the messages that was preached in the Great Awakening. So he studied and had the fire of Pentecost and never let Yale or Harvard put it out and was actually offered huge salaries from churches in America to stay. But he said, I have to go back to Poland. So anyway, he gets back to Poland and then he made contact with this Bible school. And so then he's the one that spoke to them about having us come and host the one night meeting in the school. The chancellor was there, the president of the school, the fire of God hit. And they were so touched. They opened up. They said, listen, we have to have the Holy Ghost in Poland. The only hope for Poland is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which I got so excited because here's Camille now, who's a Harvard and a Yale graduate, who, if people want to argue with him, I said, Camille, just tell him, look, I have the highest of academia behind me. If you want to argue with me, go spend your life studying at Harvard and Yale. When you get back, we'll be on the same page. So we were just laughing about that. But again, hungry people. Poland is a country that is mainly Catholic, Pentecostal. This whole area is that there's not even a Pentecostal church. So I just spoke to them. I felt that God was lighting fires. And it was a very, very strategic night to be there at this key Pentecostal Bible school, which I believe God's going to use to light Poland. And we're going to see Poland shaken by the hands of God in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, this is exciting, and we're only up to meeting number 37 and only a few minutes left. What happened in Austria, Germany, and some of these other places that you went?
All right, so Austria was just phenomenal. I have never been there. I've never been to Salzburg. Of course, it's the birthplace of Mozart and everything. And, of course, just to talk to them about seeing Austria shaken, there was a hunger there. I felt the hunger in Austria was different than the hunger in Germany. I felt the Germans, again, are more like the British, very analytic, trying to work everything out, you know. But the Austrians are more, they were more open, let me put it that way, just to whatever the Lord wanted to do. So I had a great feeling about Austria, and feel that God's really going to use and do some amazing things with Austria and just with the people that night when the fire of God fell, watching them under the anointing. Then we went to Berlin. Berlin was an international church. We had four groups of people, basically with different headsets, the Russian, the pastor of the church. Actually, it's a church that have many international guests come in there. He's actually a Ukrainian that pastors this church in Berlin. And I said, what brought you to Berlin? He said, I didn't even want to come to Berlin. He said, my wife and I were offered a Russian church in Buffalo, New York. So we left Ukraine and we were driving and our car broke down in Berlin. Our car broke down. And he said, within 10 days, I had a church. So, I mean, it's quite crazy how the Lord works. And he said, we didn't even like Germany. We didn't even want to be there. But he said, here I am today. And he has one of the great churches in Berlin. So from there, we went on to Roskilde. It's like a suburb of Copenhagen. It's a place of springs where for centuries people have come for the healing waters there. And the Lord gave me a word that this church will be a place where people will come for the healing waters of the Holy Spirit. And many will be touched and Denmark will be shaken. And of course, the Lord had put Denmark on my heart because Denmark and Norway right now have been arresting pastors for laying hands on the sick. And there's another whole thing which I can talk to you about at another time, but it's very critical what they're actually doing. They're using Norway and Denmark as like a test case for the rest of Europe of what they actually want to do to shut down the Pentecostal movement. There are key ministers that have been locked away, put in prison for what they call quackery. So anyway, the pastor and his wife are young, they in the mid-30s, and I believe God's going to use them in a profound way. They want to win souls. They're radical. They're on fire, so it's going to take another generation that's going to do that. From there, we went to Groningen, Netherlands, which, again, I was shocked by the beauty of the area. I'd never been that far north in the Netherlands, and all farming community. Great night. Many young people touched, 13, 14-year-olds under the power. And God, you know, people speaking other tongues for the first time, getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then from there, we went to Isergem, Belgium, which, again, too, I was blown away by the beauty of Belgium. And then to see the fire on this Belgian man who is an optometrist. His kids work for him. The three of his sons work for him, and they've been contending for revival for many years. And just a passionate Belgian who is on fire, wants to see his nation shaken. And I gave him a word. I said, brother, you keep bringing in international speakers, but God wants you to run with the fire and you to speak, because he definitely has it. I mean, you didn't need a magnifying glass. You could hear it when he spoke, that he had a passion to see Belgium shaken. And then from there, we went to Reykjavik, Iceland, which there was wild. Let me tell you, you know, it's a whole Viking history up there. And the pastor was one of the top criminals in the nation. Actually, in fact, was facing many, many years in prison, but God had saved him. When the Lord saved him, he actually started his church it was actually a brothel. That was his own brothel that he was running. He turned his brothel into a church. And for the first 2 months, he was still bringing drugs in. He thought, well, I'll just fund the ministry. I'll just keep bringing the drugs in, and I'll fund the ministry. And then the Lord's perspective said, you can't do that. So he called all his guys and said, listen, you can have the next shipment. And he got out of the drug business. Very funny, hilarious story. But anyway, just a great man. He's been pardoned by the president of the country, and God's really using him in a powerful way. So it was great to be with him on Friday night, last Friday night. So that was the trip, 43 cities and three trips. And we're believing the Lord now. We're busy working on the next trip that will take us to the other countries that we haven't been. We're going to actually go for one night to Gibraltar, which, again, now who goes to Gibraltar? We're going to go one night in Gibraltar. We're going to go one night in Monaco. We're going to go to Liechtenstein. We're going to go to Bosnia-Herzegovina and many of the other countries that we didn't. I think it's probably about another 15 or 16 places that we still have to go, and probably we'll do that in November. So by the end of this year, we would have hit every country in Europe at least once. So I'm excited.
And I'm excited for this eyewitness report. I mean, every one of these is a story. We crammed them into a couple of podcasts. We'll do some reports online, and I'll want to revisit some of these stories. And also, just stay in touch with your ministry, because you are really on the cutting edge of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I just want to thank you for all you do, Rodney.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for helping get the word out. And we love you guys from the first time we met you back in the 90s. I love you guys.
I hope you'll let me know if you enjoyed this little series. This was a little bit different, done partly because I didn't want to do an hour-long podcast, which is much too long to listen to. It also gave me an opportunity to put a couple more stories online and to get a couple of newsletters. I happened to be out of the country all of this week, and I, of course, recorded these in advance. I hope you enjoyed them. I hope you'll share them with friends. I hope you'll be inspired to pray for Europe. Maybe you know someone in Europe who you could email this to, and they would be inspired on this report that Rodney Howard Brown brought back to the United States. You know, God is raising up people. He has a remnant. The Bible teaches that. And even when the secular culture seems to be more and more secular, more and more godless, more and more disinterested in the things of God, things are happening. Things that have not been happening in the past. I mean, I've been covering what's going on all around the world, including in Europe. I've traveled to many of the same cities that Rodney was in. My ministry, of course, is not the same kind of preaching, teaching, power ministry his is, but I was talking to Christian leaders and trying to observe what happened and to report to my readers in Charisma Magazine and now online and through podcasts. So with that, I'll wrap up this. I hope that you'll listen to all three. I hope you'll listen to my in-depth interview with Rodney Howard Brown. You can find all of this on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to my newsletter, for getting Charisma Magazine in your home. I so appreciate the interaction, the bond that really exists with many of you, and thankful that my numbers are continuing to go up, which means that more and more people are discovering the podcast, listening to podcasts. So thank you for sharing it, getting out the word, and thank you for tuning in again tomorrow for another podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.